those who find them. It's part of the verse that we're going over this month, Proverbs 4:22. And how many of you ever played hide and seek before? All right. Shannon mentioned a couple weeks ago, you know, Jude, he'll, you know, cover his eyes and say, come find me. And he's right there in the middle of the room. But, you know, but that's just the mentality of the children that, you know, it's just, you know, that's what they believe, that if they close their eyes, you can't see them. And so we're going to look at this verse. Shannon shared a couple of things. I thought she was looking at my notes this morning, but she mentioned a couple of things about how we search for things, and that's what we're going to cover about searching. How many of you know that God is not hiding from you? God is saying, come, find me. In the midst of all the junk and the chaos that's going on in this world, in the midst of your busy schedule, all of that stuff can get in front of God. And you can't see him. That's why some of you that are going through some difficulty, you've forgotten what the last time that God came through. And it has to take you a while to get there. Am I on? It has to take you a while to sit there and then begin to think and ponder all the good things and all the ways that God has come through. And it gets you out of the muck and out of the woods, so to speak, where all you see is just nothing but green. But when you get out of that, you just see the blessings of the Lord. And so it says to search God's word. You search for God's word, you will find life. It says life to those who find them. You see, many times the disciples, they didn't understand Jesus' parables until they asked Jesus, can you explain that? We didn't understand that. And then there was even one time where Jesus explained it himself without them even asking. You see, asking questions is okay. Having questions is okay. I've always heard that there's never a dumb question, and you know, you just stay ignorant of the situation because you don't ask it. And so, you know, not saying that you're ignorant, meaning in a negative way, but ignorance means that you just are lack of knowledge. You lack some information. And so if you don't ask, you know, for those of you that have a hard time, if you're lost, you don't want to ask for directions. You think, let me go around this block 5 more times and I know that I'll find it. You know, but it's okay to ask questions. More importantly, it's okay that if you have questions, ask God. Go to him first. Shannon mentioned that she got convicted by the Holy Spirit, might have been a couple years ago, but the fact that she found herself going to her mom a lot, and the Lord was like, hey, what about me? You know, I mean, not the fact that her mom can't give her sound wisdom. She does all the times, and I even go and ask her sometimes, but the fact that we ought to learn to go to God first. Any difficulty you're going through, you get the little scratch in your throat. Instead of going to the medicine cabinet right away, go to God, go to his word. You hear a bad report from, you know, the CEO or the boss man or, you know, this, you know, a bill that comes on unexpectedly. Don't go to the, you know, human resource office or the people and then go right. Go to God first. Say, God, I don't understand. Where did this bill come from? But you go to God first. So if you ask questions, learn to go to God first. Ask him. And if you know someone that is wise in the word, go to them. And depending on the words of my mom, Google it. She'll say, Google it. I mean, she's, you know, she doesn't go on a computer or anything, but I asked her a question one time about, you know, something, and she says, I don't know, Google it. It was funny how she said it, but I'm like, how do you know about Google? But anyway, I think my nephews and nieces are teaching her while she's in Chicago some computer stuff. But anyway, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5, it says, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Father, we thank you for your word today. I pray, Father, that you give us a revelation of your word, how we can apply these scriptures that you've given us for tonight, Lord. And I pray, Father God, that we would seek you, Lord, that if we have questions, we'll ask you. Lord, that we will create the time frame to sit long enough for you to answer. If we're going to ask you questions, God, we need to sit long enough to hear for your answers. And so, Father, we pray, speak to us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you ever gone to an actual well, I mean a real wishing well or a well that had a rope and a bucket, and you roll the bucket down to get water and then you roll the bucket back up so you can get water? Anybody ever do that? Or you just saw it on movies? All right. So, and this is the picture I have when I read this. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, But a man of understanding will draw it out. Get to know who has a deep well. I'm not talking about well in the backyard with the, you know, that you have to prime to get the well water. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about some spiritual wisdom. Someone who is wise in the faith. Someone who's been around the block with the Lord, you know, for many years. Find that person and you'll be wise and you'll be this person of understanding by going to them and drawing out some of the counsel, some of the wisdom that they have. And you might, you know, for those of you that can remember, you needed a bucket. You needed something to retrieve the water. You need something to retrieve. You just need to ask the question and sit there long enough to get the response. It's important that you get wisdom, insight, advice from the right people. Ever try to, if you're lost, don't ask the person who's lost where to go. They're not going to be able to, you know, tell you. If you have someone that's in sin and you want to know how to get out of sin, don't ask the person that's in sin. Why? Because they're stuck and they're in darkness and they're blinded and they don't see a way out themselves. So it's important that you get wisdom, insight, and advice from the right people. You become even wiser when you become a person of understanding. So draw out that counsel. Let's go to slide 2. Seek wise counsel. Did I tell you to put slide 1 up? Yeah, I did. Okay. So seek wise counsel. Now, how many of you, you know, love riddles? Anybody love riddles? All right. So I have a couple of riddles. And with these riddles, you have to participate. So for the first one, kids, all the kids, pay attention. You could participate. No running, no pushing, no shoving. We don't want to get anybody to get hurt. But there is a prize, and I'm going to give you a riddle. So listen up, kids. All right, you ready? You ready, kids?
Yes.
Now, when I say kids, I'm saying if you are in youth group, you're not a kid. You're a teenager. All right, so if you're not in youth group, you know, listen up. Here's the riddle. They call it Old Glory, and I'm behind it. Adults, you might want to help a kid. They call it Old Glory, and I'm behind it. There is a prize behind this. There's a riddle. I'm going to read it again. They call it Old Glory, and I'm behind it. I'm behind it. Big old crisp dollar. Don't spend it all in one place there, buddy. Save it for 99 cent day at Salvation Army. There we go. All right. You see, with riddles, we have, you know, there's a question and it's leading us somewhere. You know, I've never met personally a detective, but a detective or an investigator wants to have leads. And those leads help them to go in a direction to find the information they're looking for the case. And that's pretty much, you know, what sometimes riddles are. So the next riddle I have is for teenagers only. Do not push, do not hurt anyone. So teenagers, okay? Just for teenagers. Be careful, don't rush, all right? No need to hurt anyone. All right, you ready? There are many of me, and I hold several things, but inside of one of me is a gift. Here, I'll give you another hint. I'm in the third row on the pastor's left. If you run, you will be disqualified.
Melissa, you're not you.
I'm a teenager.
Oh, yeah, she said I'm a teenager. Okay. There are many of me, and I hold several things. Hold on. Let's see. 1, 2. All right. Anybody find anything else? Okay, we'll do that. No. Sit down. All right, the adults, you got to be upset because that was the prize for the adult. He looked in the wrong row. So, adults, there are many of me. Adults, only. Only adults. Don't push. No need to push and get anybody hurt. There are many of me, and I hold several things, but inside one of me is a gift. Here's another clue. I'm in the third row on the pastor's left. Bob got it. All right. He can top off his gas with that dollar right there. All right. Well, thank you. That's it. No more candy. Sorry. All right. So riddles. Riddles create an excitement of where to go, and there are leads or clues to get us somewhere. Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Again, Proverbs 11:14. Did you notice that it says counselors in plural? Make sure you find more than one counselor. In the multitude of, I didn't write this. This is God's word. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Safety, why? Because listen, if you're depending on some advice, on some wisdom, on some counsel, and you want to be a person of understanding, and you want to draw out that wisdom from a person who has counsel in their deep well, then you need to find out the people who, that are godly. And the fact that counselors, plural, who are godly, you know what? They'll speak the same. If they're led by the Spirit, they'll speak the same. They'll say what God's word says. The dangerous and what you have to beware of is finding counselors who speak contrary to God's word. This is why we're studying this verse where it says, in verse 20, it's talking about God's word. In verse 22, it's talking about, still about God's word. Where verse 20 says, give attention to my word. And verse 22, because of my word, it is life to those who find them. And that's what we're focusing on. Having life and finding what God's word says. In God's word, I mean, we can find answers to our decisions. In God's word, we can find corrections of our spirit or our attitude. In God's word, we can be put in our rightful place when we think we are better than the other person. I'm not sure about you, but I always remember this verse. Whenever I go into someone's house or wherever I go into a public place, I find the lower seat. I don't find the higher seat. Why? Because the scripture is real in my head that don't pick the highest seat. Because that higher seat might be for someone else. And oh, what a shame it would be if someone was to say, hey, no, hey, that seat's not for you, that's for her. And you're like, oh, okay. And then you are ashamed in front of everybody because why? You didn't choose to pick the lower seat first. And so I just always have that verse in my mind when I go into someone's house. I don't pick, you know, the best seat in the house. I'll pick because it's better for someone to say, oh, don't sit there. That's for the kids. Come on over here. Sit over here. See, when we look into God's word, we find life, we find advice for our life, instructions for our life. God wants us to find him in the midst of all that's going on. Now, I want to read to you real quick because I remember coming across this and I just never knew where it started. It used to be called GPS Stash Hunt, Stash Hunt. On May 3rd, Dave Ulmer, a computer consultant, wanted to test the accuracy of hiding a navigational target in the woods. He called the idea the Great American GPS Stash Hunt and posted it on in an internet GPS users group. The idea was simple. Hide a container out in the woods and note the coordinates with the GPS unit, kind of like the riddles that we just experienced a little while ago. The finder would then have to locate the container with only the use of his or her GPS receiver. The rules for the finder was simple. Take some stuff, leave some stuff. On May 3rd, he placed his own container, a black bucket, in the woods of Beaver Creek, Oregon, near Portland. Along with the logbook and a pencil, he left various prize items, including videos, books, software, and a slingshot. He shared the waypoint of his stash with others online. Within 3 days, two different readers read about his stash on the internet, used their own GPS receivers to find the container, and shared their experiences online. Throughout the next week, others excited by the prospect of hiding and finding stashes began hiding their own containers of posting coordinates. Within the first month, Mike Teague, the first person to find Omer's stash, began gathering all the information online and posted coordinates around the world and documenting them. This is what's to be known as geocaching. Geocaching, first coined by Matt Stumm on May 30th, 2000. And it was all because of a certain coordinate, but there was something there. We got coordinates galore right here where we can find wisdom, advice, instruction. When we need to get put in our place, it's right here. So we have to be wise at finding those who have, as it says in verse 5 of Proverbs 20, counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. I understand that so-and-so's got some wisdom. They've followed the Lord. I've heard their story. I'm going to ask them, what can I do about this situation? So-and-so has experienced this, but they still held down to the Lord. I'd like to know, what can I learn from it? And this is something that we can do spiritually. James chapter 4, verse 7 through 10. It says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Now, when I looked at that verse, and I found the meanings of some of these Greek words. The word, it says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, you sinful person, and purify, make clean your hearts, you double-minded or two-spirited person. Lament. Now, in the King James Version, it says, be afflicted. Now, listen, if I'm drawing near to God, I'm thinking that good things are going to happen, right? You're drawing near to God, right? But this is what, listen to what James is saying. Draw near to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Verse 9 says, be afflicted. That word be afflicted means realize your misery. Realize your wretchedness. That's what when we read lament, in King James it says, be afflicted. That's meaning realize your misery. Realize your wretchedness. Realize your sin, you sinner, and mourn and weep. That means to grieve and wail or sob. I'm thinking, wait a minute. James, you're telling me to draw near to God? Good things ought to happen. But I'm here reading. It says, realize your misery. You're ungrateful. You're wretched. Then it says, mourn and weep. That means to grieve and wail and sob. Then it says, let your laughter be turned to mourning. Let your laughter be turned to grief and sorrow, and your joy to gloom, and your joy to sadness. Then it says, humble yourselves in verse 10. That word humble yourselves means to humiliate, as in the condition of your heart. You know, when I was reading this and I was reading the definitions of these words, I'm reminded of what Isaiah said. In the presence of God, I am undone. Put some coal that's on that fire, put it on my lips. Because the words that are coming out of my mouth are not holy. They need to be burned. Now, God, Isaiah wasn't saying, hey, yeah, you know, I want third-degree burns on my lips. He's not talking about that. He's not talking about that. He is, you know, he's undone, thrown back in the fire. He's not talking about hurting himself. There are times, I'm not sure how many of you noticed during teacher's class that you kind of noticed something, but there are times where I, in the presence of God, I just want to, God, I just know the wickedness in my life. God, I'm horrible. And this is what James is telling us. We draw near to God. It's not a picnic. We draw near to God in the presence of he who is holy. God, I know my attitude. God, I'm not even worthy to be in your presence, but your word says draw to you and you draw near to me. God, I feel as if, God, I want you to just strip all the sin, all the bad thoughts. I got to come to you this way, God. That's how I feel when I come to God. Listen, if you don't feel that way, you got to draw a little bit closer to God. Because in the presence of he who is holy, you got to come back. You got to come to the conclusion that Isaiah did. I'm undone. I'm undone. God, I'm nobody without you. God, I need you. God, my thought went there. And God, I wish I would have just said pull and shot it in the air. God, it shouldn't have gone there. God, I need you. See, when we dig a little deeper in the coordinates that we're given here in James chapter 4. See, I didn't really know that. I mean, I always thought it was weird. It said, lament, let your laughter be turned to sorrow, and let your joy be turned to gloom. I really didn't understand that. And I just wanted us to just kind of look at how we're digging deep. You want water at the bottom of the well, you got to roll that bucket down. You got to do something. The water's just not going to come springing up. Someone who has wisdom, if you need direction, you need some advice, ask somebody. But be careful. Let that somebody be someone who's connected to the word and not just one person. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So any big decisions you got to make, go to the multitude of counselors and you'll find safety. Hopefully those counselors will give you the same words and they'll speak what God is saying. But we need to understand, man, God, I need to find you. Like Shannon was saying, I'm trying to find my keys, like I'm trying to find the remote, like I'm trying to find my mind. God, I need you, God. I spend a lot of time trying to find things. And how much time do I spend trying to find the deep things of God, or just a nugget, just a chicken nugget of truth from God's word for today? It's manna for today. And how much effort am I going to put that to doing that? Drawing close to God. You know, when we do that, we say, God, I need you. When you don't draw close to God, you're saying, God, I don't really need you. And every day this has got to become something, not just I don't want to say a habit, but it's got to become a part of us, our lifestyle, where we draw close to God because, God, every day I need you. But as God comes near, we see our sin. God, I'm undone. I don't even know why you're in this room here with me, because I'm undone. I mean, God, you want me to preach this message? I don't feel like I'm... Paul even said it, I haven't even attained it. I haven't even attained, but you know what? Even because I'm not there, I'm going to continue to reach forward for the high prize of God, which is Jesus Christ, my Lord. As God comes near, we see our sin, and we see that our sin is great. We see that our sin and our attitudes and our problems, I'm not sure how many of you, and Shannon did this with words, but how many of you, you open your mouth, and I wasn't going to put my foot in my mouth, okay? Shannon had Josiah eat an apple. I wasn't putting somebody's foot in my mouth. But that's what happens. That's what happens. You open my, how many of you, you open your mouth, and it's like you inserting your foot. I mean, just like that. God, I need you. And so as God comes near, we see what's going on. As we read Scripture, I've always heard it say that we read Scripture, Scripture reads us. It shows us what is lacking. It shows us what we're not on the same wavelength, and we need to get there. Because of his presence, we are brought low to lament. Now I'm understanding. James is saying, look, submit to God, resist the devil will flee. But you draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. So you need to cleanse your hands, you sinner. You need to purify your heart, you double-minded. You need to be afflicted. Realize your misery and mourn and weep, grieve, wail, sob. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, grief, and sorrow. The reason why he's saying this is because when we draw near to God, we are in the presence of he who is holy, and the stench that comes from us is revealed. We start smelling that. Why? Because we're in his presence. Verse 6 says, again, this is God's word, it's not me. It says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Silas, can you come here real quick? No, Silas here? In the nursery. Ezra, come on over here. You'll do. Those of you that have ever had older brothers, older sisters, this is the picture that I want you to have. Try to swing at me. All right. So this is the picture I want you to have. Someone who is proud. Okay, you can stop hitting me. You might punch me. But that's the picture I want you to have, because that's a picture that comes to my mind when I read this. That God holds the proud, not telling you to, read the hand or whatever, but God keeps them at bay. Resists the proud. Ezra, come back up here. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have told you to sit down. But he gives grace to the humble. Oh, he gives grace to the humble. Let that picture be you. You have a proud heart. You have problem with pride. God is holding you at bay like this. but you humble yourself. Here in verse 10, humiliate as in the condition of your heart in the sight of the Lord. Then it says, and he will lift you up. So it's good to be in his presence, to be seen, to actually see the junk, to actually smell the filth coming from me, being in his presence. So I'm saying, God, here I am. I'm undone. Use me. Because he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Slide 3. And I'm almost done because we're going to have communion. I like this little kid. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. There is a definite truth there. The truth is you will find God. You will find God. But the key is you got to seek him with all your heart. This is a good truth. Jeremiah 29:3. You will find God. That is truth. But there's a key. You have to search for him with all your heart. Charles Spurgeon says this: consider these as ways of drawing near to God. It means to draw near in worship, praise, and in prayer. It means to draw near by asking counsel of God. There you go again. Asking God first. It means to draw near and enjoying communion with God. We're about to do that here right now. It means to draw near in the general course and tenor of your life. Where after spending time with God and in his presence, you come away saying, not my will, Lord, let your will be done. Not what I think should be done, not what I think should happen. It's what you want to happen.